Hey, Bob WP here, and welcome to Woo Product Chat. Hey, do the Woo Podcast Show. Woo! Woo! Well, today we have our newest host, James Kemp from WooCommerce, and his premier appearance, although I will admit that he has been on 6 shows so far, and it goes back as far as episode 19. Anyway, he is joined by Becca Rice from Kestrel and Patrick Garman from Mindsize. There's some good stuff coming your way, as James says, a bit of talk about what they're working on behind the scenes at Woo that the community doesn't always get to hear. But I don't want to spoil anything else, so let's get right into it.
Hello, I'm James Kemp. I'm from WooCommerce, and we're going to use this time to kind of talk a bit about what we're working on at WooCommerce behind the scenes that maybe you, the community, don't generally get to hear about. So I am joined today by Becca from Kestrel WP and Patrick from Mindsize. We're all collectively working on a project together centered around order management, and we'll dive into that a bit shortly. But first of all, I think it would be useful to introduce yourselves. Becca, if you want to go first.
Yeah, sure thing. It's great to see both of you again, James and Patrick. For those of you maybe new to the Woo space, I'm Becca Rice. I work at Kestrel, formerly one of the partners at Skyverge. So I've worked with WooCommerce since version 1.5 or 1.6, I think. So it's been, you know, about a decade, a little over a decade, actually, of time with WooCommerce. I've built over 60 different plugins for WooCommerce, as well as, you know, cross-platform apps for Woo and Shopify. And so I'm very excited now to be working on a project, improve and revamp order management, with James and Patrick. Patrick, and I'll turn it over to you as well.
I'm Patrick Garman. I own and run Mindsize. I've been working with Mindsize since 2017, but I've been working with Woo since probably the same era as Becca, maybe slightly earlier. I feel like 1.2, 1.4. It was right after the fork that we don't talk about. But we work on high performance, high scale applications, e-commerce and otherwise. So a lot of WooCommerce is the tool we use, and we need to really customize an e-commerce store to fit our needs.
Was the first version of WooCommerce WooCommerce 1?
That's a gray area.
I think they did call it 1.0 right after the fork, and there were quickly a lot of patch releases. And I remember like the first couple minor releases were within like months of the WooCommerce launch. So it went pretty quickly. So like version 1.4 would have probably, I don't know, maybe 6 months in at most, right? It was pretty quick there in the beginning. And then we got to skip around a little bit sometimes. It was like 1.6 to 2.0 right away. Those are painful times, but yeah, pretty early on.
Yeah, I think I joined or started using WooCommerce after originally using the previous software in 2000.
I don't think it's a bad word to say Jigga Shop.
I don't know if it is. Well, yeah, that's right. What happens if we say it 3 times?
Let's not test that, James.
It was 2011, I think, I started using it. So I don't know. I didn't take note of what the version number was back then. But
yeah, that would have been pretty. It was like 2011, like fall 2011, I want to say, when it was launched. Like, yeah. Or early 2012.
My first plugin was 2011 that it went on to Code Canyon. So I must have been right on it somehow.
I'm going to look it up right now. You guys have me curious. Yeah, September 2011. So Woo was almost 13 years old. There we go. Okay, so we've all been doing this even longer than we realized. Yeah. This is what age does to you.
Yeah, so definitely a lot of expertise in the room around WooCommerce. And just, I imagine, you know, WooCommerce wasn't your first entry point into the web. So further than that, I think we've all got our medals in the industry, which is awesome. So that, I think that's why it's such a kind of great group of people to have together to work on the project that we're working on. And for clarity for any listeners, Becca and Patrick are kind of working at the moment in a consultation capacity. So we're in very early stages of the project that we're working on, and we've done a lot of work around deciding what the project's going to look like, how the data is kind of structured within it, and at the moment a lot of work on design, how it's going to be implemented into WooCommerce. So yeah, that's the context. I think we should start discussing what we're actually working on.
Yeah. So maybe what if we kind of outline the problem, right? I think over time, Patrick and I have seen a lot of different Woo stewards doing a lot of, you know, off the wall, but cool things, right? And I think one of the things that we've seen over time, and obviously, Patrick, feel free to jump in, especially from like a high volume perspective, has been that fulfilling orders and that timeline between the customer has placed the order to the customer has received their order is the hardest thing, I think, for any e-commerce merchant to manage, right? There are hard things.
Probably one of the most common things that they're going to be in there doing as well.
Exactly, right? That's what you do all the time. You're not always uploading product images all the time. You're not always changing product listings, right? But the one thing, you know, you're doing consistently is fulfilling orders. And it's the hardest thing, I think, you know, in e-commerce, even though inventory management is hard, there's a lot of hard things. Order fulfillment is definitely the most challenging thing for merchants to do. And I think historically in WooCommerce, that's always been a little bit challenging, right? When you look at the orders list, it's not always clear if something's paid for or not, if the charge has been authorized or captured or not, if the products have been packed, if they've been shipped, if they're in transit but not yet delivered, when the item is delivered, right? We only have this concept of, you know, order on hold, processing completed. So merchants, you know, historically have not had a granular view of that fulfillment process. And as Patrick can attest to this, the more your store scales up, the more important that granular view is to understand how many packages do I have yet to ship? How many labels am I going to need? What's the throughput, you know, in my warehouse or shipping operation? And so that was kind of what inspired the three of us working together on this, is how do we solve that problem in WooCommerce? And what other related parallel or tangential problems can we address at the same time for merchants who are fulfilling orders and having difficulty in understanding the status of orders and how to fulfill them and what steps are needed? So Patrick, I don't know if you have anything to add to that, but that was kind of the problem that inspired this project together. And then I think we can also talk about what we want to do about that.
Yeah, definitely. It has been a challenge. I know Becca and I have experienced a lot, like she said. And I think this project's most exciting because a lot of the community may think that Woo just builds in a silo. We're going to build what we want and you guys are going to live with it. But in this case, with one of the hardest problems in Woo, we have the product side being represented, building extensions, building products within Woo, the scalability side, the data architecture. Like, we're looking at every aspect of this to build a highly customizable, highly performant flow that can support all stores.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the biggest challenge. I think one of the biggest challenges of WooCommerce in general is one of the biggest challenges and benefits of WooCommerce in general is how customizable it is, and how when you're building something like we're building, like we're working on, you have to think about all the ways that this is also going to be extended in some way. But yeah, like you say, Becca, I think that one of the issues with how orders are presented in WooCommerce at the moment is the merchant can land on that orders page and they don't know what to do next. Like, there's no clear indication from that list of orders what the next action is for each one of those orders. And it's quite a complicated thing to tackle. So obviously the order status comes into play, and we have tons of extensions that modify the order status that add all of these like interim statuses that could apply to an order. So you might see currently orders that are marked with a custom status of shipped, for example. But that's not indicative of the actual status of the order. Like you say, you don't know if it's been fully paid for. You don't know what's been shipped. You don't know when it's delivered. And there's so many aspects that aren't covered from just having one singular order status. So one of the first points that we discussed is breaking that order status out into essentially three statuses, where you've got the kind of overall order status, a payment status, and a fulfillment status. But the challenge that we faced is because of how extensible WooCommerce is and how many plugins there are and just implementations there are that modify or utilize the order status in some way, we don't want to just bowl in and change how that all works in one fell swoop. So the approach we've taken actually is to leave the order status as it is and focus primarily on the fulfillment status. So with the goal of kind of tackling that, not impacting how people use the order status, other than maybe they might want to transition to our new fulfillment status if they're using a custom fulfillment status within the order status. Release that, utilize that, see how that goes, then focus on the payment status side of things, and then we're kind of in a better position to migrate people to start using those things. But roll it out in a way that they're kind of independent of each other, but can potentially impact. So it's quite a challenging task, and that's just the status aspect of it. But there's more to it than that. I don't know if, Becca, if you had anything to add to that.
No, I think it's a great start, right? So definitely the fulfillment side of it. There's obviously the payment side, as you mentioned, the payment statuses, but the fulfillment side is definitely, I think, the place where we can make the biggest impact for the largest number of merchants. You know, even though every merchant is going to take a payment, you know, and not every merchant is going to have to ship something, the shipping side is definitely more painful right now. And being able to add a fulfillment status is going to make it much clearer where things are. And as you had mentioned, James, like the clarity in terms of the data structure around that and also being backwards compatible is a big consideration. So right now, Woo has the concept of shipping line items, but that shipping line item doesn't really represent a package or a shipment, right? It's just a single line with an ID and a name that can sometimes be very difficult to tie back to which rate had created that line, for example. But what that represents is like more of a payment for a shipment and less so an actual package. So having a proper, you know, API to retrieve shipments, to add new shipments, is going to make courier integrations much better, the ability to have a standardized way of tracking information much better, and give developers a framework to be able to add all kinds of different shipments. And while Core can handle, like, I took the order and I shipped it to the customer, you know, in mind, we also have things like, how would we handle RMAs? Or how would we handle sample packages, right? Or ways that this feature can be extended by plugin developers to add new functionality to the shipment concept. So I think it's a pretty exciting thing for us to do to have a better data standard around what represents a shipment, how that's going to be tied to an order and to the line item that represents how much that shipment cost, and how developers can take that and make some really, really wonderful things on top of it for all sorts of advanced or niche use cases.
You mean I won't have 15 processes because I use 3 different carriers that all did things completely differently?
Yeah, I think that's the challenge right now, right? A lot of folks might be doing things directly in WooCommerce. They might be using an ERP system. They might be, like, you know, going directly to their account with a specific shipment courier, right? And there's a lot of difficulty in doing that. Like, a good example would be, I know a lot of merchants who use both FedEx and USPS for different types of packages, right? And some of them might be using, you know, an ERP or a system that's helping them in one place, but some of them are logging into both of those and, like, copy and pasting tracking numbers from, like, FedEx over to, like, WooCommerce order notes or something. And that's the broken process in my mind, and something that you're going to do, hopefully, you know, every day as a merchant. We should just be able to make a lot easier, and you should be able to do that right within WooCommerce. As you're looking at the order, hey, I've packed it, I'm ready to fulfill it, I should be able to do that whole flow inside of my WooCommerce admin.
For sure. So I think for, like, a bird's eye view of essentially what we're working on, which ultimately stems down to a fulfillment status. We've got the fulfillment status of an order, which we're looking at is either fulfilled, partially fulfilled, or unfulfilled. Those are the 3 kind of core statuses that you could assign to an order. So in order to fulfill an order, you would need to create a shipment or a fulfillment, as Becca was describing there. And on top of that, you might not want just one fulfillment for a single order. You might want to have multiple fulfillments shipped via different couriers, for example.
Yeah. And I think that piece there, James, is really key, right? I think a lot of folks who have used Woo have been frustrated with, like, well, I'm going to ship this order in multiple pieces, and I only have processing and completed, and my customer doesn't get notifications for every shipment, right? So that partial fulfillment concept, I think, is going to be a huge win for the kind of merchants who want to just ship things as fast as possible, even if that means multiple shipments, right? There's definitely bigger sellers who want to send more than one package. And this, you know, opens that capability up in WooCommerce in a very sane way, which I think is going to be very exciting. And to back up the point about scalability and showing WooCommerce doing these really amazing things, it's going to be a big win for those kind of merchants.
Yeah, I was speaking to a merchant that has to do that quite often. They sell, I think they're like a bedding store, but they also sell beds. So they have to ship massive items alongside like a pillow. And what they tended to do, if someone ordered a bed and like a mattress and a pillow, they had to manually create another order with just the pillow, remove the pillow from the previous order, and like all this kind of manual work that they had to do behind the scenes just to be able to send two separate shipments and log it appropriately in whatever system they're using. So definitely we ultimately need, and this is what we're working on, is a data structure for shipments or fulfillments behind the scenes. So the data that belongs to a shipment is always the same, like regardless of what kind of shipment it is, and it's consistent. So third-party tools can integrate into it and they can receive that data and integrate out of it as well.
Yes. I think let's take that to a very practical example, right? So not only as a seller, like let's stick with this, you know, retailer that you were talking back with a bit back with this excellent use case, right? So not only can this person now just fulfill each of those line items independently with as many shipments as they need, right? Now all of that data is stored on against the WooCommerce order, easily referenced and in a structured way. Now we can expose that with a semantic, you know, API. Now let's say I build an email marketing app, right? Now I can get a webhook for a fulfillment being added to an order, first of all, that tells me maybe I should be sending an item shipped email to users. Now I will know which items have been shipped and which things are in that package, as well as which, you know, line items, and then by proxy, which products were in that order. And so I can be sending these like beautiful item shipped emails as a good example, right? If there's other actions that need to happen as each item is fulfilled, now any external system that you're using can tap into that information easily, because it's not just going to be some random plugin that your app might not have an integration with, right? Now it's a core feature with part of the core API supporting it. And so I think while it's a really big deal to just support that workflow, I think we all know that the extensibility of Woo and the ability to use it with so many different, you know, tools and apps and services, that's really the killer feature. And having that as part of core, I think will be a big win for every app in the ecosystem, not just, you know, that fulfillment flow specifically on the site.
For sure. And I think as a merchant, just being able to see, and this is kind of where we're at in the design explorations, as a merchant being able to see the list of orders and being able to see then which orders have been fulfilled and which haven't, but also which orders have been partially fulfilled, you know, but which ones still need some sort of action. I think that's a really important thing, and it makes that orders list much more useful than it is currently.
We're filling a giant gap for a number of areas. You see WooCommerce as this is the customizable, flexible e-commerce platform until you want to do back orders or B2B and all these other complex scenarios that core really doesn't enable well, but now we'll just work out of the box. Oh, you're doing a wholesale order to your distributor of 100 mattresses. Surely that doesn't fit in a single tracking number. Maybe you only have 50, but they ordered 100. Now you ship 50, you still have 50 to go. All these scenarios will just work out of the box.
Yeah. And, you know, to be fair, like, you could always build all your own custom code to do that in the past, right? Which was the cool part about Woo. But now we're giving people like a framework that these customizations or these more advanced pieces of functionality can fit into. And that gives us like a translation layer between Woo and apps and other plugins. And so everyone having that common data store, to your point, Patrick, like you can enable these really complex scenarios, but now like ERP integrations or inventory integrations or anything else that you have now has a standard way to interact with those workflows. And I think that's really going to be the exciting part of this, is that even though these things may have been possible through custom code in the past, now that little bit of standardization is, I think, going to go a long way towards facilitating other integrations, other plugins, other apps, like all kinds of other features that can be built on top of this, no matter the use case, right?
Yeah, it'll be less work for me to build something that doesn't feel like a bolt-on.
Exactly, right? That will feel way more native, that will have the ability for other plugins to understand where that data is going to be stored.
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. And additionally to that, Patrick touched on it just then, we'll be looking at integrating some form of shipment tracking as well to this, which is a feature that many have kind of complained about missing from WooCommerce.
I'm so excited about that change. Yeah. I think it's been such a gap. I know it's hard when you, like, you know, WooCommerce is free, right? Let's not forget that. And so you can't, you know, have a sustainable ecosystem if everything is just free in the core platform. But I think we've maybe felt for a while that shipment tracking was probably a bit of a miss, or something that does make very good territory that's going to cover, you know, 80-90% at least of people using the core platform. So I'm super excited to see Woo make that decision to start to put, you know, a core shipment tracking feature available in WooCommerce as a result of this. I think it's going to be a huge value add. And then to our previous point, right, it gives you a standardized way for other apps to understand how to access tracking numbers and as part of a fulfillment.
Yeah, I'm hoping we can implement it in a way that means there can be pro versions of shipment tracking that, you know, expand upon the feature of whatever's in core.
Well, there's attaching a shipping number, and then there's having real-time updates you send to the customer. Like, there's value that can be added, which, like, when's the last time you heard someone say, you know, that WooCommerce order thank you page is good?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's that. I think there's opportunities for, like, courier-specific integrations, you know, to have, like, shipment statuses is a good example, right? Like, if I'm integrated with FedEx, the basic level of that is just getting the FedEx tracking number and URL and, like, showing it in the orders page or emails, right? But what if I want to have, like, live updates because FedEx has more granular statuses for a shipment, right? There's, like, a waiting package, received, you know, in transit, out for delivery, right? And so I think there's pro versions or more advanced integrations that can be, let's say, polling, you know, FedEx or getting webhooks from FedEx for those delivery alerts, for example, to send even more emails to your customers. I think there's some really cool opportunities that can be built on this with more advanced functionality, but at least from a core sense, you can be supporting those, that basic concept of, like, hey, you know, a fulfillment is sometimes going to need a tracking orders, tracking number associated with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very exciting stuff, I think. And I think that the other important thing to touch on is that not every order is going to need shipping. And that's something we're discussing quite a lot. Like, how do we frame this functionality in a way that covers digital orders and virtual orders? And I think fulfillment makes sense as a term for covering all of those different use cases. And we've discussed the opportunity of kind of auto fulfilling downloadable orders and virtual orders, but also having it possible to dictate, probably through code, like, when an order is fulfilled. So if you're selling, like, a membership, and Becca, I think you touched on this before, you might not want to fulfill that order, or a course, for example, you might not want to fulfill it until they've finished the course. So there would be a way to fulfill orders outside of just shipping an item or shipping all of the line items.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's exciting about Woo in general is just you have all of these long tail of use cases that can come out of every feature in these, like, surprising and unexpected, but very cool ways, right? And that's the beauty, I think, of open source, is that people will sort of use things and interfaces in a way that you've never imagined. And so we tried to take that concept with fulfillment. Like, okay, the core reason to have a fulfillment is probably a shipment, but let's dream a little bigger. What else could people do with this feature? And I think as we all discussed this and talked to a lot of merchants, you know, virtual goods like download services, et cetera, may have the concept of fulfillment. And so you might want to skip that and not use fulfillment as a merchant, but you might want to. Let's say I sell content writing services, right? And that's a virtual item. I'm not going to ship anything to someone for content writing. But what I might do is say, hey, when I'm done and the first draft is up here, like, my fulfillment is my Google Doc, and I send you the Google Doc link. Well, that, it, you know, what are the parallels, right? What if we abstract the idea and look for what's core between a package and a Google Doc? They'll have a name, they'll have a URL, it will have a status, right? And so, like, you know, as a services provider, I could add a fulfillment with the Google Doc name and the Google Doc URL, and that's my fulfillment to you. And so while I might not use that use case. I might use it differently, right? What we tried to do is say, what are other ways that this feature can apply to different ways of fulfilling a good or service, even if it's not a package, if it's a digital fulfillment or a service fulfillment? And how can we support that? Which things could be core for virtual sellers? And if they're not core, how would we facilitate extensibility and extensions of that, right? Core may not, let's say, have a delivery date attached to fulfillment, but we need to make sure that it's possible to do such a thing, whether that's enabling like a semantic structured form of metadata, right? There's ways that we can do that and be mindful of that extensibility, which I think is an exciting part of this.
Yeah, even touching on what you said before about the kind of fulfillment statuses, not the overall fulfillment status of an order, but the fulfillment status of a shipment or a shipment status. So just having a status per shipment is something that we could do via metadata in some way, or maybe it's a permanent field that belongs to a shipment. But yeah, I think that having this structured data of shipments is going to be massively useful in any number of use cases.
Yeah. I mean, especially with the number of digital goods sellers that WooCommerce has.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's always been one of the strengths of Woo, is it's always been fantastic for virtual goods, whether downloadable, whether services, courses, memberships, like all kinds of different things that I think will be very exciting to see how people use this feature, right? We've definitely tried to design it in mind that while it will primarily be used for shipments and packages, that we have a ton of other exciting use cases that it could be brought to bear for.
Yeah, and I think speaking of design, one of the key or the key area that we've been focused on at the moment is how the merchant can come into the orders list and create a fulfillment from that page. So they don't have to click through to the single order page. They can create fulfillments from the order list and kind of complete that process a lot more quickly than they could right now, which is actually quite a challenge we've found in terms of like designing this in its most simple form, without adding too many buttons or too many things like calling for your attention. So yeah, I think the design aspect of this is very challenging. We've got that screen to focus on. We've got then like once they create a shipment or a fulfillment, how does that look? Like what does that screen look like? And then also we've got the edit order screen. What does it look like when you create a fulfillment from that screen? So we're definitely like in very early stages in terms of design for this. And we're kind of focusing on how to make that experience as simple as possible and also covering all of these different bases that we've talked about and all these different use cases.
Not to mention as fast as possible.
Yes.
We spent a fair amount of that one design call just talking about this page needs to be fast. You should not sit here and wait 5 seconds for this order to load after waiting 10 seconds for the order list to load. We're going to make it fast.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the key things is like we want the merchant to be able to create and fulfill orders as quickly as possible because, you know, that their time is important and that is more than likely one of the most time consuming things they have to do. And Patrick, I don't know whether you know, but I imagine a lot of merchants are currently fulfilling orders via some other means.
Especially as stores grow, yeah, they'll often have warehouses. Well, warehouses aren't going to open up WooCommerce admin to fulfill an order. So at least in a lot of cases, they aren't. So integrating these fulfillments into other platforms and having that ability will definitely be a thing. But customer service may need to look up the fulfillment that was fulfilled from the warehouse and being able to integrate all these things or make it possible where the warehouse that fulfilled the order in some other platform synced back to WooCommerce, which is integrated into your customer service tooling and in the little sidebar of your Help Scout or Zendesk or wherever. You've got your order and your fulfillments and everything right there, all powered by one consistent data model.
Yeah, and that's the goal. So yeah, in terms of like a timeline for this, so we're very much in the design phase. We've scoped out how we ideally want this to look and work. There's definitely still some more discussion around specifics, particularly around like what the data structure is going to look like, how we actually embed that into WooCommerce itself. So I would hope next year is when we could be rolling this out in some form. But I definitely want to get feedback kind of early and often on what we're working on. And right now, it's kind of hard to find somewhere where you can do that. I think As a company, we use GitHub Discussions quite a lot for kind of more officially collecting feedback from the developer community. I use Twitter a lot, but that's a very unofficial way of doing it, or X, as they call it now. So I don't know if you guys have thoughts on like how we can get more community involvement in this. And also, I'm conscious that we don't want to have the classic saying of too many cooks. I imagine there's a lot of design-based input that we could get on this in terms of like visual design or even database design. And there's probably a lot of differing opinions on how best to approach it. But I do feel like GitHub Discussions is quite, there's like a technical barrier there. I think the people who comment there are more than likely developers or part of some sort of agency and less likely merchants.
Yeah, I would say I don't feel like that's a terrible thing though, right? Because if you're an agency or a builder, right, you are oftentimes essentially supporting the merchant and understanding their needs and their use cases. Sometimes it's helpful to have that sense of like technical creativity to understand like what are the possible ways we could solve this, or what is possible now and what are the gaps. I definitely welcome that side of the input. I do think it's important though to hear the pain in the merchant's own words, and also to like get very close to what expectations do you have of the experience, because ultimately, you know, you need each of those like personas or types of people to make like a really, really wonderful product, because they're all going to be users of the product, right? Even if, you know, the agency or developer or plugin developer isn't the person who's in there using the UX every day. Let's say my perspective as the plugin developer, I'm the one trying to build something on top of it. And if I hate it, I'm just not going to use it. So we need all of those people to be excited to adopt, you know, what we're doing. And it's got to be a carrot. It's got to be a no-brainer. It's got to be, why would I do this my own way? Why would I build my own data structure for a fulfillment when the what's in core works really wonderfully for me? So, you know, I think I've had a lot of success in the past using like customer councils. I think I've heard of Woo experimenting with such a thing. I think it would be really great to do like a rotation of agencies in the space, of merchants who are actively using it, who want to see improvements in the software. I think Patrick and I are definitely in some ways fitting that persona, right, in different ways. Patrick being on the agency and working with high volume site side, myself being in the plugin developer space and trying to build things on top of WooCommerce and supporting the merchants who are using these customizations and these plugins. So I would love to see a variety of voices involved in it and contributing to that. I agree with you, James. You can get inundated with feedback that's not super valuable. So I think it's having a small group of folks. And it's also great if it's not always the same people, right? If it rotates, you know, maybe every 6 months or something, I think is where I'd find the best success.
There are so many bike sheds for us to debate what color to paint.
Yeah.
Woo's had a hard time getting store feedback. I mean, think of a big business. They go out, they're like, hey, web developer, I need you to build my store. I don't care what platform it's on. Some of them don't. So how do you get their feedback? From the agency side, what I've tried to do, which I recommend many people do, there's people like James, Ken, others in the Woo space out here who want to talk to stores. So I can certainly take the store's feedback and go bring it to James and be like, hey, here's what the store said. But I just outright introduce the store owner to James, to Ken, to these other people within Woo who can have their own calls, ask their own questions. How you word a question from which way you're asking will impact the answer. Like, I've got multiple projects right now where, you know, we ask the client a question in a way that makes sense to us. They give us an answer that makes sense for the question that made sense to them. The answer was wrong. So getting these different perspectives from different people, and the best way to build a good product is lots of opinions like we have from different perspectives, from different use cases. Spam James with all your store owner introductions.
Yeah, just send it all to me. I think actually, Patrick, it was you that introduced me to the bedding store that I spoke to previously.
That was one of them.
Yeah. I think that's quite valuable to have that kind of interaction, like that direct of an interaction with a merchant, and really dig into like how they use the system.
I mean, it makes you look good as the agency. Hey, I'm going to introduce you to the head of product at Woo, who's going to listen to your feedback.
Yeah, which isn't me, but
some people might think introducing your store owner to someone else is going to take away from what you're doing. It's the opposite.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a useful thing to do. I think even like the setup we've got here of WooCommerce working directly with you guys from different backgrounds and different kind of perspectives is massively valuable. And I think it takes away the too many cooks scenario. We're all aligned on what the goal is. Myself, coming from a plugin developer background, I'm kind of consciously aware of how would I want to extend this if I was building a product on top of this. So yeah, I think that's really useful. Becca, you were going to say something. I don't know if you remember what it was.
I do. One thing I did want to call out, you know, we talked a lot about fulfillments in this conversation because I think it's like first up and most exciting. The plan is to continue building in this line. And the other thing that we should just, you know, spend a little bit of time on is also talking about payments, right? I think one of my complaints of Woo for a long time has been the way payments are represented, because I've built around 24 payment integrations with WooCommerce as part of Skyverge. We have a couple at Kestrel as well that are payment integrations. And one of the really challenging things has been that, you know, a payment is just like a metadata blob attached to an order right now. And that's not always very semantic or easy to work with, right? Like if an email wants to show the card type and last four digits that was used on the order, how does it do that? Well, it has to know, you know, which meta keys to look for from all these various payment gateways. That's not great, right? So the other part would be what we can do on the fulfillment side. We can kind of do a parallel on the payment side, which is attaching transaction objects to an order. And each transaction would represent a payment. And so number one, that's cool for data standardization, right? That like a payment can be represented with, you know, the type, the payment name, the payment method that was used, some basic information about that payment method, right? And that's exciting, again, for all the integrations that Patrick's pointed on the order thank you page, right? Like, hey, we can just display this information because it's now going to be available in the API. And that's pretty cool. But that also opens up the possibility for a couple of pain points for big merchants, which would be partial payments, deposits, multiple payments, multiple captures per order against different line items. There's a lot of more advanced workflows around the payment processing side that, again, are difficult in WooCommerce, or you've got to go bespoke, build everything yourself with all your own custom code, and there's no standardization to allow for translation between apps and plugins. And so while fulfillments is one area, just want to make sure that people understand, like, payments is another area we see this need, and we can take the lessons learned from shipments and fulfillments and translate the lessons over to transactions as well, which I think will be a very exciting thing. So it's kind of opening the door. You know, I know, Patrick, you've seen a lot of really weird use cases around payments. If there's things that you want to add there that we can facilitate, but just to call out that there's some cool things coming there too next year once the fulfillment project can be, you know, kicked out the door.
I've been screaming from the rooftops for years about let's separate the order, payments, and shipments, fulfillments. There's so many scenarios. As businesses get bigger, they add more process. Enterprise isn't millions more orders. It's a lot more red tape and process around everything they do. So having the ability to separate these things out, having bespoke objects for a payment, for a fulfillment, and you could have an entire workflow in your store. I'm selling a website. The first fulfillment could be I'm sending off a contract through DocuSign. That includes a payment afterwards of a deposit. Then a second fulfillment is a logo. And then a second or a third fulfillment is here's the page, there's content. Like all of these things could just fit in a native data structure. You wouldn't think I'm going to sell a website out of WooCommerce, but you could. And all of that, multiple payments, multiple fulfillments of digital and physical things, that's all.
Yeah, I'll give you an example that wasn't even enterprise, but was similar. I bought some swag from a Woo store. They're pretty cool. They're called Scout Books. They do notebooks with custom printing. And they use their Woo orders as invoices and be able to pay a deposit. You know, they can either use two separate orders, or you have to do like a fee line item and then like discount the main line item, right? But then again, like you have to have two separate payments, and that's customization. So there's a lot of weirdness that in Woo, and like why? It's supposed to be the most flexible e-commerce system on the planet. Like, let's make it easier for developers to enable such a thing, even if we don't have to facilitate that in the core plugin. We should at least have the on-ramps for plugins to be able to do this in a sane and semantic way. So I'm very excited for that potential, because I think multiple payments against a single order will open up a ton of really cool use cases around like upsells and cross-sells and post-purchase like additions, right? You know, like a thank you page, order bump, these are all things that we can make so much easier for plugin developers with that as well. So fulfillment is one piece of it, but then actually accepting the payments against the same order object is the other piece of it.
That's like I said earlier, we go from we can do it. It's all of that you described is possible.
But it's ugly.
To we can do it well.
Yes, it's ugly now. And that's the thing that I will be so excited to fix.
It's sustainable. It's scalable. It's performance. Just all of that.
Yeah. And I think on top of the transactions kind of entity being just payments, it can also be refunds, fees, disputes, like all of that kind of stuff can be within the same database. And that alone will make reporting easier as well. So yeah, I think that'll be that's the more challenging side of the two entities that we've discussed. Because that kind of, once you get into those grounds, you're then affecting how the overall order status works and the need for using it at all. Whereas I think with shipments, it's kind of an optional thing. You could either, you know, utilize that, but your overall experience, unless you're using it, would remain much the same. But with payments, like every order has a payment. There's no way to not use that. So it's definitely a challenging thing.
There's a way to do it, though, like to not scare everyone. Saying, oh, I'm going to have this huge breaking change of WooCommerce coming. Like you could have a payment gateway that just it marks the order paid like it does today, and it just marks the order paid without the data. So there's going to be a path.
Yeah, and I think that to tie on to that, Patrick, too, I think as someone who has built both plugins and apps consuming the Woo API, I do want to call that out that like that's definitely part of the path that we've talked about, right? And making sure that, you know, if you're an API consumer right now, and let's say you might even be inferring financial and fulfillment statuses, depending on whether the order is like on hold or processing or completed or has a date paid property or not, like you might have some work in your app right now that's even like circumventing these problems. And so definitely one of the things we've discussed is like not making, you know, specific breaking changes to the existing version of the API, but you can upgrade to a new version of the API. Now you'll have actually discrete properties and data objects for each of these things. So the backwards compatibility aspect, I think, has been a big part of the discussion where, you know, it's certainly a big project and that's a reason to do transactions after performance, but there is definitely a path to adding these things in a way that is not going to experience breaking changes for stores or API consumers or plugin developers. But I think it would just behoove you as an app or plugin developer to adopt them because it'll let you do much better things. And it will let you remove probably some of your even, you know, internal logic that you've had to maintain that you wouldn't have to maintain anymore. So I think it will just be the smart decision to make the updates to adopt this once it's out there, but definitely not something that would pull the rug out from underneath of you.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the approach that we're going for. And I think that's why we've separated it out into these phases of work. We don't want to just one day release a completely different way to manage orders, just all in one go. So yeah, I think that's a great point to raise. That is the phase two, I guess, of what I would call the order status project. Ultimately, it's all boiling down to having these separated order statuses for orders, even though there's like a whole iceberg of a mechanism that goes on behind the scenes for both scenarios.
Yeah, but to tie it back to our point in the beginning, right? The goal is just so much more clarity around order management. And so I think both of these things can add really wonderful clarity for even more complex use cases than just I have a single item in an order, a single payment, a single shipment. Yeah, Woo was totally fine for that today. But as we've seen, you know, the beauty is that it can be used for way more complex things too. And we can have a cleaner way to support those complex things while still having a really beautiful and snappy and fast and easy interface for people in the orders list.
Agreed. Cool. I think we've had a pretty good discussion about what we're working on. Unless anyone's got any additional points to raise about the project, I think.
I heard from James we're going to be live in a year.
Well, yeah, that's the plan.
He's going to hold you to that.
For fulfillments, to be honest, I'm hoping less than a year. I would hope like...
I think Patrick and I are just excited to see the project happening. And, you know, we've talked about this for a long time in Woo, how it would be a great improvement. And, you know, I would just say thanks, James, for giving us the opportunity to, you know, collaborate and contribute to it. It's nice to have more of a work in public mindset and to have more visibility, I think, as developers, hopefully other folks as well, because I think Woo is definitely more powerful when we understand even the extensibility use cases, not just core use cases. So not everything will be a core use case, but the extensibility is definitely something that is very powerful to facilitate and to make possible.
Yeah, on which note, I think it'd be useful to say how people can contact me or you. So I'm on Twitter/X as James C. Kemp, which is probably the best place to reach me, to be honest. Becca?
Yeah, also on Twitter. I refuse to call it X.
I have to.
On the Bird app, I am BEKA_RICE, Becca_Rice. And as James mentioned earlier, our website is kestrelwp.com. You know, contact form. There's only a few of us, so the contact form there will hit me too.
Patrick.
And I'm on also Twitter at PM Garman, GARMAN. Find us at mindsize.com. Definitely reach out.
Awesome. Well, I hope we can do this again, potentially next month, and we'll keep people updated of where we're at on the project as a whole. Any kind of roadblocks that we're up against or any new decisions that we need to make. I think it will be quite a fun project to keep an eye on. But thanks for joining me, and thanks for being willing to contribute to this project.
Thanks, James.
Thank you.
Hey, Bob WP here again, and thanks for listening to today's show. If you happen to be interested in sponsoring WHO Product Chat, we are looking for exclusive or shared sponsors. Just head to dothewoo.io/sponsor to learn more. So until the next time,